All right, one of our sponsors out here at Ticket Stock is the Texas Motor Speedway. They are here today, and here you can get your hands on a No Limits Texas Scratch-Off card from the Texas Motor Speedway. Every card's a winner. You'll have a chance to win the grand prize of $20,000 from the Texas Motor Speedway. All right, and now, out here at Ticket Stock, let's say hello to Antoine Roussel of the Stars.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
How's it going?
Look at him up here. Look at the girls out there going crazy. So we already had like an awkward girl moment because this young girl down here. How old are you? 15? 16? Okay.
Woo.
So she flipped out when you came out here on stage, which is, it's nice. You know, you're a rock star and everything. So we were telling Antoine, like, you know, the girls were, because he was standing over there actually when they started going crazy. So we're telling him the story in the break of you, young lady, in particular. And Danny goes, yeah, and her boyfriend was like holding her back. I go, you mean her dad? He goes, that's her dad? So compliments to you, sir. I guess you're looking
still
good.
Looking,
you
know? Younger than...
Who would have known?
You should.
Who would have known?
I can't tell anymore with girls.
And then,
man.
And then he tells Antoine that he can't tell if they're 14 or 47 anymore.
They all look the same.
That sounds
all
like right, an 80-year-old right, man.
I am an 80-year-old.
It's all right. They can't tell if you're 47 or 77 either.
You just need glasses, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah. How are you, Antoine?
Great. Just happy to be here. Just see a couple fans and excited.
So, I guess. You moved from France. Well, you're one of 8 French-born hockey players in the NHL currently. So in France, when you start playing sports and you start to be 6, 7, 8 years old, at what point did you gravitate to hockey?
Well, I was a busy kid when I grew up. I could not stand like that kid. I was always running around and can't stop. So my mom put me in rugby team to start. And I was a bad leader. I tried to, it was so sunny outside and so hot, just like Texas weather, basically. And I need water. So I said, hey, boys, let's go get some water. So the practice will always stop every 2-4 minutes to get some water. So the coach was so mad at me. And it's the first time I get kicked out of the team. So
you were kicked off
I got
the team?
Kicked out of the team.
How old were you?
4.
4? 4?
You're 4, you're getting kicked off of your rugby team.
I know,
team.
That's a bad start.
That is awesome.
So then my mom started thinking of another sports, and hockey, actually skating came up because it was cooler. So
yeah.
I ended up going there, and my mom always said to everybody, as soon as I see some hockey guys playing, she says, this is what I want to do.
Really?
So
does Lindy stop down practice now every 4 minutes so you can get water or what?
No, he doesn't do that. For some reason, they don't let us do that.
And so once you found hockey, how old were you when you first put on skates?
3:34, like basically the same time I get kicked out.
You get right to hockey.
Yeah, right.
And then was
hockey.
That it from there? Did you play any other sports growing up?
I tried to play soccer, but I wasn't really good with my feet.
Yeah.
Nope. So I just love hockey. That's the only thing I wanted to do. And first of all, I never thought I would play in the National Hockey League. I always thought I always wanted to play for Team France because I thought that was more accessible.
Right.
And just came one step at a time. Every time I get closer, and that was perfect.
So what was your first year? At what point did you realize, what were you, 17, 18, where you were like, man, I can make the transition from this to the NHL?
Well, first off, like when I was born in France, and my whole my whole family moved to Quebec when I was 15, and I was pretty good at the time, but not good enough to say I'll be Sidney Crosby or something like that. So I was good enough to play in good caliber, but I would just work hard and always like get better. So I played junior major, and then I turned pro. I wasn't drafted. It was a big deception for me at that point. And so I tried to get better. And at that point, I was 20 or something like that. And I turned pro at a contract in the minor league, East Coast and AHL, and worked my way up.
So, all right. So when you guys moved to Quebec. Did your parents move because your dad got another job, or did they move because to improve your hockey?
No, actually, my parents they were tired of the way they were living in France, and I was kind of lucky kid because we got to move a lot and travel and see the world a little bit with my parents. So we went in Quebec a couple times, and my parents just fell in love with Mont-Tremblant, where my two friends in the back are from over there.
Hi, boys.
And so they fell in love with that place, and so they decide to, we want to build a bed and breakfast over there, and that's what they do now.
Oh, really? They run a bed and breakfast?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's a completely change of lives, and they love it.
Nice.
That's so different.
So on the Stars, they tell us that it's up to you. They look to you to bring the chip a little bit, bring the edge, and go out there and... you know, stir things up a little bit, maybe agitate, if you will. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it is. I always play hard, and usually when someone like rub you the wrong way, you don't like it, and it's usually what I do on the ice. And I bring the emotion on, and usually that piss people off. They don't like to be play hard on, so it's just emotion game, and people don't like that, so I just have to answer my action most of the time.
He's too nice. He seems too nice to bring
that
edge.
Yeah, you really do,
man.
You should put some skates in.
No, I don't want to. No, I don't want to die or anything, so I'm perfectly content here.
No, I don't want to be suspended either.
All right, so on that front, last night sucked. It was disappointing, and you guys keep going. We have Lindy on every week, and he talks about the peaks and the valleys, and you guys, you've had a lot of them, it seems like. You're up, you're down, you're up, you're down. You need that little 8 out of 10 winning streak to come to fruition here.
Yeah, tomorrow's game is going to be huge for us. Well, every game is going to be huge till the end of the season. But basically, the team we're fighting against, like Winnipeg, Minnesota, the Sharks, or like Calgary, those teams that we have to win games because they are 4 points victory, basically. And so that's it's up to us, I guess, for the last 24 game to make up some ground and hopefully secure playoff spots again.
All right, here's what I don't understand about guys like you who bring the edge out there. How do you know how far to take this thing? There's a line out there somewhere, and it seems to move all the time about, you know, how far to take it and when you're going to go over the line and do something that's detrimental, thereby pissing the coach off at you. Kind of like Garbutt did last night. It seems like that line always moves, you know?
But it always depends. Like, I felt like you always have to be aware what kind of who's riffing the game, and what's who's your best opponent and stuff like that. What you can do, and you usually the ref lets you know basically right away. If you can have a good night or you can't,
he'll
tell you right away. I don't want that tonight. So then you take a little bit off. But so it's sometimes like I said, it's an emotional game. You try to bring everything to the table. Ryan and myself, we came in that league bringing energy and playing really hard, and sometimes didn't think of like what we do on the ice, like over like being pissed off people.
Mm-hmm.
So it just sometimes we go over the edge. But I felt like myself this year, I've been pretty accurate, and I stay on the line pretty good. Sometimes I wasn't too close, and I'm not as effective. So I'm really effective when I'm playing really hard, piss people off, and just stay on that good side.
Yeah. Does Lindy let you know?
Of course. Yeah. Well, that's a coach.
Will he say something or just give you a look like, dude, that's too much? Or
you always know. Like, yeah. Basically, if you end up in the prison,
right? Right.
In jail.
Yeah. Usually, when you're in prison, you do know that, don't you?
Well, it's a French word for it. I don't know how to translate it sometimes. Just didn't come up.
Shut up. All right, so speaking of the whole French thing, because we all know how the French accent works on women, you know, you could come over here and be a guy that makes $2.85 an hour, and you could just walk out to any bar and throw that accent out there, and women are like, ooh, well, who's this? That's mysterious and wonderful and European.
And erotic.
Yes. So do you get
exotic.
That?
Exotic.
Yes.
Do you get that? It works, right?
Well, usually it's a hit or miss, basically. Yeah, it's either they like it, either they don't like it. But for me, it's no point. I have a girlfriend. So
it's good. It's good. Now, on the flip side of it, when you were growing up, and you were too young probably. Well, people that maybe came to Quebec, because that's, what is that, 90% French?
I don't know. In Montreal, actually, it's, let's say, 50-50.
Okay.
And but in the all around, it's just more, just pure French.
Okay, because I wonder about the Americans and the American accents when they go to the foreign lands. Because I've been over there before, but I was at the point where I was in no state to pick up women. But...
What do you mean?
I went to.
Do we have a story?
I went to Amsterdam.
I'm sure people want to hear a story.
You know, there are things over there that
they've
are,
heard it,
that are legal, and
you think so?
It was just awful. But anyway,
so.
So did you find that Americans that traveled over to France or that you know went up to Quebec and flashed their accent like, "Hey, everybody, how y'all doing?" Does that work on women the way the French accent does in the States?
Well, I guess you... the guys who were in the army for World War II, they had no problem.
That's true.
With women there, so I guess it's kind of flashy and they had success.
I didn't think about that. All right, so the number one bullet point on Antoine, it's not the edge, it's not the French thing, it's not moving to Quebec. It is the point, it's not the rugby thing. It's not
is
the,
it?
It's you're a Breaking Bad fan.
I'm a huge fan.
And
actually, every AMC show, basically.
Are you really? So yeah. Mad Men and you know Mad Men?
Yeah, love okay. it.
Walking
so,
Dead?
Love it.
Better Call Saul?
Love it.
All right.
Name it. I love it.
So let's start with Breaking Bad. Did you get in it? How early on did you get in it? Or was this something that you just you binged for?
No, actually, I didn't know like for the first two seasons.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was on. And somebody came up to me and, hey, you need to watch this. And I watched the first five episodes, hated it. It was like so slow, didn't like it. And then I got onto it and love it.
So now with Better Call Saul, are you into that?
Oh, yeah. Well, every week I watch the episode. I make sure I record it.
Yeah, no matter what. Does everybody, does the team, is there like a group of you guys that talk about Breaking Bad or the shows in general?
Well, we spend so much time on the airplane, and like we have so much like sometimes free time like to kill like an hour here and there just to relax. So most of the guys watch TV shows all the time.
And
so,
is that, that's got to be a big one,
like,
right?
I know Sean Arkoff is the most accurate. He watch everything. You cannot like surprise him with any show. Have you watched this? Yeah, I know everything about that. Yeah, blah blah. You can't even impress him with one show. So it's. We always try to get his attention that way, but it's tough.
Were you disappointed in the ending of Breaking Bad?
Excuse me?
Were you disappointed in the ending of Breaking Bad?
Actually, I was hoping there was one more season, like everybody, I guess.
But you were satisfied with the way they wrapped it up?
Yeah,
with those?
Weren't you?
Yeah, I was fine with it. I was fine with it, but I always like to talk to people about it because there have been those who were not.
You know?
Some say that they thought they took the easy way out and a couple things, but I did not. I was fine with it.
What about you guys?
Loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. I had no complaint. That's the one show where I think that of the big, giant shows like the Sopranos-type shows, Breaking Bad is the one show where I think the last four or five, maybe even the whole season, those last seven, where I didn't have an issue with anything. Like, I loved every second of it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. I mean, it's brilliant. It's beyond brilliant. Well, good. We have that in common now, Antoine. I'm going to
perfect.
I'm going to
hit connection.
You up. Yeah, exactly.
You guys can talk about
like
that on your way to the baby dolls booth.
Yeah, where is it?
Yeah, is there a baby dolls booth?
Over there. Oh, there they are.
All right.
Hey, ladies. How's it going?
Oh, great. He'll be over there momentarily.
Yeah. Just want to see what y'all are doing.
We'll stop by after.
Yeah. Just to see what's going on. Right.
Yeah. Just doing the tour.
Quality control.
Exactly.
All right, brother. Thanks for coming up. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
Let's put together a big streak here.
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
Get
thanks, everybody.
Turn this thing up. Give us a little hockey
today.
Postseason this year. What do you say?
Ladies.
That'd be awesome.
Give it up for the man. Thank you.
Antoine Roussel. Let's hear it for him.
Thanks, guys.
All right. All right. We are here at Ticket Stock 2015 at the Irving Convention Center.
Fun is next.
Yes, fun is next.